I trust that God will meet your need today. Now, I'm going to preach a very familiar verse. I'm going to say it's an iconic verse, if you could use the terminology. It's a verse that is oft-quoted. It's a verse that may be on some sort of plaque or a cup or some decorative piece in your house. Without question, it's something that is often stated. And if you look, the one verse in verse 13 of chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Tremendous verse. I do want to remind you, though, that this verse, the verse that says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, was written by a man who was in prison. Wasn't written by a man that was sitting at home drinking coffee in a nice living room and enjoying the many benefits of ministering for the Lord. It was a man that had been imprisoned and beaten and mocked and made fun of and put in a jail cell because of his love for Jesus Christ. And yet he could still take a pen and through the power of the Holy Ghost write the words, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Tremendous verse. That last phrase there, that phrase that says, which strengtheneth me, an English teacher instructed me that that was a non-essential clause. In other words, it's something that is additional information that would not have to have been included. Now, I believe every word you have in your Bible should be there. I don't think there should anything be changed. The Bible says in verse 13 again, I can do all things through Christ. But then that phrase, which strengtheneth me. That makes something almost a little bit ambiguous. It can be applied a couple of ways. It could be applied that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So the strength is coming through Christ. Or it could be that the strength is coming through being able to do all things. It's worded in such a way that both would apply. I'll give you an illustration of that. Last night, we gathered up about 30 people. We went down to Columbia, and we were on the streets of Columbia, South Carolina. And we were giving out tracts, and we were witnessing to people, and we were preaching on the corner. We joined another church that also had about 35, 40 people, about 70 of us gathered downtown right there in Columbia, not far from the University of South Carolina. And when you go down to that, there's a lot of bars, there are a lot of people there. They're not really interested in the Bible at that moment. They're not interested in God, and even some of them that would claim to be Christian, you know, they really don't want to hear preaching right there. And then when you step up to preach, Brother Scott Suttle, he's in junior church this morning, super church. He stepped up out there and boy, you could hear his voice. Oh my goodness. The Bible says that God so loved the world. And boy, everybody's looking and you know, you need to have God's help for you to stand on a street corner and preach in this day we live in. And he wasn't angry about it. He was talking about how God loved the world. And I know that God was helping him as he was trying to minister to people that were going to a bar that they probably gone to the week before to leave the same way they left the week before, unsatisfied, without any joy, without any future. Listen, I'm telling you right now, the world has nothing to offer somebody that's been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing to offer. But as he was being strengthened to preach, a little uncomfortable, little bit out of our environment and comfort zone. But I know God was helping him. And then, to show you that maybe it's not just strengthening through Christ, it might be strengthening for what you can do. We had one of our 10th graders from the high school took their Bible, and they're standing on a street corner. I'm talking about a kid that's probably about, I don't know, 16, 17 years of age, downtown Columbia. And he took a Bible and he started preaching. The Bible says, and you know, I know God was helping him, but I'm looking at Brother Scott, I'm looking at others. And we're getting strengthened by watching a guy that's in the 10th grade not being ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not preaching like he's scared to death, and he's not preaching like he's embarrassed. He's preaching like he really believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus has something better to offer than all the people that were gathered at the bars. And I just got strength from that. So what I'm saying is it's written in such a way to say that you can gain strength through Christ, or you can gain strength through the things that can be done. Now, that being said, I want you to look at it again, though. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. right? In chapter 4, three times that phrase or a phrase similar to it occur. The first one is in verse 7. Look at it. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, there's a settledness. There's a peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. And I would like to remind our people this morning, listen, the world looks for means to be able to find peace for their soul. Maybe it's a bottle. Maybe it's a prescription. Maybe it's a counseling session. But somehow, vacation, time away, moving to another environment, they're looking, they're trying to find a means that they can find peace for their soul. Boy, I'm glad to tell you this morning, there is a fact that is in the Bible. Jesus Christ can give you peace for your soul when nothing else can. He can settle your soul. Doesn't matter how bad things get. Doesn't matter how dark things get. Jesus Christ can settle the soul. Amen to that. But then if you look down at verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That there's a supply that only comes through Christ. In other words, it's not just a peace that only comes through Christ, a settledness, but also a supply. That my God shall supply all your need. And I don't want to run ahead of myself. Great verse we'll preach from later. But God can supply needs you have that the world can't supply. I told the seniors this morning. I got curious about how much money we'd spent on the roofing around Tabernacle. And I asked somebody to give me some numbers on that. And I guess we're coming close in the last 4 years to spending $250,000 on the roof. And I didn't say, wow. Some of y'all said, wow. I just wanted to cry. You say, why? Well, because nobody's going to walk up on the roof and look at it. Nobody's going to sit on top of the roof and say, my, what a beautiful roof we have. Nobody's going to admire the texture. Nobody's going to admire the work. You're not even going to see it. Now, you can see what's above us here. But on these other roofs that are flat, you're not even going to, nobody's going to see that. And that's a lot of money. But then I turned around, I got to thinking this. I went from weeping to rejoicing because we don't owe a dime for spending $250,000 on the roof. And if you'd have asked me, well, where'd you get that from? Did you have a fundraiser? No. Did you have somebody in the church that's a multimillionaire that wrote you a check for a quarter? No. Did you have somebody go and hit the lottery? No. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. A God in heaven that has more resources than I have need, he just dropped a big bunch of money on us at different times. And we've got roofs that are paid for even though nobody look at it. And you know what I say? God can supply needs that nobody else can. He does that through Christ. He settles you. He supplies things. But then look again at our text. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He can give you a strength that can't be found any other place. Now, we do believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and we believe the King James Bible is without error. If you don't have a King James Bible, you're laboring under a great disadvantage in trying to understand what's in the Bible. The new versions say this, I can do all things through Him which strengtheneth me. Well, I don't need a him. I need the one that has a settledness, and I need the one that has a supply, because he's the one that can give me the strength. Amen. It's not the pastor that can give you strength to live your life. It's not the deacon board that can give you strength to live your life. It's not your mother and dad or some godly Christian. And we appreciate all those. But are you listening to me? The only person that can help you do all things is going to be the same person that has a supply and the same person that has a settledness. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Come on, there's bound to be somebody here this morning that you came to something in your life and you thought, I don't have the ability to withstand this. I don't have the ability to bear this. I don't have the ability to take another step. I can't do it. Only to find out that when you can't, that he can. That when you get to the very end of all of your resources and you get to the end of all of your ability, that there's a God in heaven that he's not diminished in one little bit. He can give you the strength to go far beyond where you can go personally. Now, that being said, I do want to note one other thing. If you look at the progression before we get to this text, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, I speak not in respect of want, for I have learned. Do you see that? I have learned. Learning is the gaining of knowledge. Learning is gaining information. So the apostle, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is saying, I've learned some things. I have come into association with information that I needed. Then look at verse number 12. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. It's gone from learning something now to an experience. All right, I've learned it, but now I've applied it over and over and over again. And now I have an experience that I can draw from. Then look at the next verse, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ. Now, here's what I want you to see. I learned. I know. I can. Now, you know what? I can is not the same thing as saying I've learned. There are people here today that say, you know what? I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that even though I can't explain it, I believe in the Trinity. I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe in a heaven, and I believe in hell. There's a lot of things that I believe that I know, but knowing something is not the same thing, verse 13, as doing something. Gaining all this knowledge, gaining all this experience is invaluable. Being able to work your way through something, add something to the depth of your life and your ability to move forward. But learning something and experiencing something is not the same thing as doing something. And our text says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So there's an expectation of some kind of action taking place. Now, let me say one other thing before I get to the main part of my message. I do not believe that Philippians 4:13 is just a blank check for us to do whatever we want, claim whatever we want. For instance, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Then I can be the richest man in the world. I'm just going to claim it. God, you said I can do all things. I'm going to be the richest man. You know, you can go ahead and try to claim that, but I really don't think that verse means that. You're probably not going to end up doing too well in that regard. I'm going to be the smartest student at the university. I don't have to worry about studying. I don't have to worry about applying myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm just going to be the smartest student. God, just drop it on me. If that worked, don't you think somebody would write a book about that? I told you. When I was at Baylor University my freshman year, I don't know who told me. Somebody told me that if you'll take the lectures and you'll play them at night while you're asleep, that you will subliminally, and my major in psychology, you'll subliminally get that information into your brain. How many of you absolutely know that that does not work at all? Play all you want. All right? The idea is, well, I can just claim to be, or I can claim to be the greatest athlete or whatever. Plug whatever you want into that. I can do all things. That verse has a context. In other words, it's written in a chapter that has all kinds of information surrounding it. And that information surrounding it controls what that verse is trying to say. So when he says, I can do all things, he's learned some things, he's experienced some things, and now he's going to progress to doing some things. Well, like what? Well, look there in verse number 9. Look at verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you know what I believe that verse is saying? I believe that verse is teaching that you can be an example to other people. All right, here's what I want you to understand. Look, verse number 13, that I can do all things. Can you be a good example? I can be a good example to my children. I can be a good example to the brethren. I can be a good example of things that you find in the Bible. And here's what the devil's going to tell you. You can't be a good example because you're a failure. Because you have ruined the things in your life. Put a little marker right there in Philippians 4 and I'll show you what I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians 6. If you'll turn back just about 50 pages to your left there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know that there are parents here this morning that the devil would tell you, you cannot be a good example because of what your former life was. There are men in this auditorium today that the devil would tell you cannot be an example of what a godly deacon should be, a godly church member should be, because of all your past failures. Would you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, that's immorality with the flesh, nor idolaters worshiping another god, nor adulterers, that could be in the mind or with the body, nor effeminate, all right, that's men going after men, women after women, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that would be the fulfillment of the effeminacy, verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards. Oh my, how many were drunkards at one time? Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see that indictment against human nature? Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And somebody ought to stand up and shout and run around the church. And such were some of you. You see that in your Bible? And such were some of you. But he doesn't stop there. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Do you see that? I can be a good example through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yes, my life is a mess. Yes, I had problems in my life. Yes, there were things I'm embarrassed of and failures. And the devil will tell you, you'll never be able to help your children. You'll never be able to help your church. You'll never be able to be a good example. And I disagree. I'm telling you right now, you can be a good example through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. The devil's lying to you. He's lying to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you continue in those things. The drunkenness, the fornication, the covetousness. Verse 11 is very clear. And such were some of you. That's past tense. Hey, listen, you may have been a drunkard, but if you're born again, you don't have to be one anymore. That's the past. That's the past. And I can do all things. I can be a good example. I can be a good mother. I know this morning, there is no doubt in my mind the way the Lord's impressed this on my heart. There is bound to be a mother that thinks I cannot be what I ought to be because of this and because of this choice and because of what I did here. I'm telling you, the devil's lying to you. I'm telling you, Philippians 4 says that through the forgiveness of Christ and through the grace of Christ and through the strength of Christ, you can be what you ought to be. But you'll only get that through Him. You won't get that through a seminar. You won't get that through defending your reputation to all those that are around you. You won't get that by writing an essay about all the things that are... You'll only get that through Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad to tell you today, He's no respecter of persons. He can help anybody in that area. He can help you be a good example. He can help move you past that. Well, I feel like I could stop right there and that'd be enough for us just to get on the altar and say, thank you, Lord. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. So let's read it again. I can do all things through Christ. What things? Well, being a good example. You can be a good example. And then not only that, look at verse number 8 of chapter 3. The man that's penning these words has lost everything. I want you to think about that for a minute. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He lost a lot. You know, in this life, there's a lot that you can lose. And a lot of times when you lose, it makes you bitter. It changes who you are. For instance, I'm sure there are people that are seated in the auditorium, not by your choice, but by the choice of someone else. You lost a mate that you said I do to. Till death do us part. And they decided, you know what, I'm not going to fulfill my part of that commitment. I'm going to move on down the road. And that's hard to lose that. There's some of you that have lost mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters And I'm not just talking about to the grave. Some of that's been true, but I'm talking about brothers and sisters, maybe moms and dads that said, you know what? I am not going to keep living this way anymore. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I had people talk to me about it all the time with tears in their eyes, talking about how that they've got a son or they've got a mother that just one day decided, I'm not doing church anymore. I'm not having anything to do with the Bible anymore. And they walked off. And that's a great loss. Sometimes you lose health. You lose the ability to do what you used to do. And that is so difficult. And the older I get, the more I understand how difficult that is. You begin to lose the ability. And then just being able to bounce back from having little problems that come up here and there. Sometimes you lose all kinds of things. You lose money. You know, I remember hearing guys talking about, well, I've lost money before. And I thought, well, I hadn't lost any money. Of course, if you don't have any money, you can't lose any money. I'd hear him say, if I got mad over all the people that borrowed money from me and never paid me back, he said I'd be mad at everybody. And I'm thinking, well, I've never had anybody not pay me back because I've never had any money to give to anybody. It doesn't really make any difference. But there's some of you, you've lost a good bit, haven't you? Yeah. Lost a lot. Yeah. I lost a little bit. I was telling the seniors this morning. I got interested in this new type of car they were developing. This is several years ago. And you could invest at the entry level. So I did. I put some money in. Didn't have a lot, but I put some money into it. And they sent me a T-shirt. And on the front of the T-shirt was a picture of the concept that they were going to build. And so I kept up with it. You know, I talked to my son about it. He looked, oh, that's cool, Dad. Yeah, really? You buying it? Yeah, I bought into that. Well, you know, year after year, there would be things that would happen. Well, we can't get this started up because of the engine specs, and we can't do this because of this. And I'm still wearing my T-shirt. And we can't do this because of this. And, you know, and then finally, people came to the conclusion, not going to happen. Say, did you get your money back? No. I got rid of the T-shirt, too. Lost some things. You know, there's some people that lose their mind. I had one of our members recently tell me this. Are you listening? Couldn't remember who they were. Couldn't remember who their spouse was. And they said, "Preacher, the only thing I could think about was Jesus Christ. And that little bit of light that came through, that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." They said, "Preacher, the only thing I could hold on to was that I knew who Jesus was." You understand, you can lose a lot of things and you can get bitter about it. You can get angry about it. You can allow it to change the course of your life. Or you can do what the apostle did in verse 8. He says he suffered the loss of all things. But in verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, "I can do all things through Christ." Listen to me. Are you listening? God has more grace than you can have loss. I'm going to say that again. God has more grace than you have loss. You may have lost a lot of things when you went out in the world and lived foolishly or made some bad decisions at the beginning of your marriage. You may have lost things that you can never get back. But listen to me. You may never get those things back. Listen, God has grace to help you live past the things that you've lost. Amen. You may not ever be able to look at those things again in your hand. You may not ever be able to pull them up to you and say, "Hey, I've got all this back." But hey, when you don't get it all back, there's a God in heaven who has grace to help you be able to live past the point of loss in your life. And that doesn't come from a church. And that doesn't come from a pastor. That only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost all things. I can lose all things. How? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That leads me to verse 14 of chapter 2. Look at that. Well, you're talking about I can do all things. I'm amazed how nobody connected verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14, do all things. That sounds just exactly like 4:13, without murmurings and disputing. I could stop here. We can continue on. Because this just says you need to have a right kind of attitude. Look at it again. Do all things without I'm not going to re-preach it, murmuring. Murmur. Murmur. Do you think we have a murmuring society in America? Come on, are you kidding me? We live in the most affluent country in the world. And people complain that the temperature of their 1.5 inches thick ribeye that's cooked medium rare is not exactly the way they want it to be. And the lighting is a little bit bright where I'm sitting. And the stainless steel fork that I'm eating with has got a little bend on the corner. You know what? We probably ought to quit complaining so much. Well, we were doing good on those first 2 points, weren't we? But it's in the Bible. You can't separate I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me and then turn around and skip the verse in verse 14 that says do all things without murmuring and disputing. That means that you don't have to have everything go exactly the way you want it. It doesn't always have to be perfect for you to be happy. That's what we've done. We've raised a society that thinks if it's not exactly the way I want it, if it's not exactly the way I like it, if it doesn't all fall together the way I hoped it would, I just can't be happy. You know what I think? I think you can be happy through Christ with however things fall out. Yeah. I didn't say you could be happy. I said you could do that through Christ which strengthens you. Yesterday had go by the hospital, somebody that had a fender bender, I guess you could say. And just bought the car. I mean, when you just buy a car, don't you want to drive it for a little while before it breaks? Right? At least give me a few weeks, months, days. Give me something. Let me enjoy. I don't have to replace anything. I don't have to fix it. I just bought the car, and somebody else that had no idea plowed right into them. Boom. Bent it all to pieces. And I was amazed that in our conversation that I didn't hear somebody complain about the loss of the car. They said, I'm sure God's going to work it out. Are you listening to me? I'm just glad nobody was seriously hurt. How many of you think that's the right kind of attitude? The only way you get that kind of attitude is spending time with Christ. You've got to get your strength from Him. So that when it doesn't go perfect and when things don't go exactly the way you want it, that you don't get disillusioned and disappointed with all the little problems in life. Listen, honestly, I think that Americans, I know this, American Christianity has the idea that this world is so good, why would we want to go to heaven? So God sent coronavirus and we got masks on and we've got separation and social distancing and we don't get to go to work and we've got to go get a shot and am I going to get it or are you going to? And listen, all of a sudden people start saying, man, heaven's looking sweeter all the time. And I say, amen and amen. The right kind of attitude. You know, you get around some people, their attitude's horrible. And you get around other people that have nothing and their attitude is right. You know where they get that from? They get that from the Lord Jesus Christ. I can have a right attitude. Come on, listen, young person, you can't have a right attitude. No, I can't. You don't know my daddy like I do. No, I don't. But if your daddy helps you with things and somebody pays the bills, you know, you're probably doing pretty good. I imagine probably back in 1940, I was told this. One of the reasons you had summer is so that everybody could quit school and go out in the fields and work. Does that sound like fun? I'm not going to go to school and say we're going to go work and we're going to pick cotton. And that's what we did in Alabama. We're going to pick cotton and we're going to do all these things. What are you going to do this summer? Work. How much are you going to get paid? Nothing. Now, some of y'all better smile or I know I'm drilling right where I need to drill. Come on, have your attitude. What kind of, the right kind of attitude. The right kind of, I can do all things through Christ. I can suffer loss. I can be an example. I can take and I can have the right kind of attitude. I got several more. Let's look at one more. First, look at chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These verses, again, to me, are some of the most precious in the Bible. And he says, I've got one thing that I'm doing. And he tells you what that is in verse 14. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. I'm pressing toward pleasing Jesus Christ. There has been a change in Paul's life. There was a time he persecuted Christians, imprisoned Christians, held the coats while men stoned Stephen to death. And yet there was a change in his life, and now he's gone from trying to eradicate Christianity. Now he's gone to trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 13, though, he tells you two components. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. Listen to me. All right, listen. I believe Paul had to give up some things that he had developed an ability for, or perhaps a taste for. And he says, I've got to forget those things. Now, the devil won't let you forget certain things. But I'm telling you right now, you can get to the place you say, I'm trying to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to forget about what I used to do on the weekend. You can stop drinking. Amen. Come on, you can stop that kind of lifestyle. Amen. You can stop using drugs. Amen. You can stop using filthy language. Amen. Come on, you can do that. You say, well, I did it for 30 years. I understand that. I understand that. But when you get born again, you can start putting the past in the rearview mirror and you can start reaching toward the things of God. You can do that. You can quit being mean to your wife, mean to your husband, mean to your children. You can stop doing that. Amen. You can quit the fears that shouldn't be there. There's so many things that that the devil will hold you fast with. But you know what you got to do? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, I may not be able to go back and undo the time lost, but I certainly can get rid of those things in the past and those habits, and I can start reaching forward to the things that are before. Listen, to this morning, I'm preaching to some people that have been saved and living for God for 40 and 50 and some 60, maybe 70 years. Well, that's an encouragement to me, but I'm also preaching to some, it's just been in the recent days that you said, you know what? I want to get my life on the right track, and I need to quit doing this, and I need to stop doing those things, and I've got to get rid of that in my life. That music is just not right. I know it's not right, and I'm trying to get this direction, and you wonder, am I going to be able to do it? I can do all things through Christ. Which strengthened me. Not through counseling with a pastor, not through the Sunday school department, not through a program, not through good music. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You can. But you can only do it through Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. Now, I'm finished. This is a great verse. But this verse is not about what I'm getting here. It's not about what I know and what I've learned. And you may have learned some things today about being settled and being strengthened, being supplied. This verse is about doing. I can be an example. And you know, I'd like to give some people the opportunity this morning that the devil's tried to convince you you'll never, ever be good enough to be a good example. But I'd like to give you an opportunity to come to an altar and say, Lord, I can do that through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know that there's things that I've failed in. There's marks on my life. And maybe even hate those marks. And have to live with them. And I can't go back and undo it. But such were some of you. Now you're washed. A mom, a dad, a grandparent. A man that the devil told you you'll never be able to be what you ought to be at Tabernacle Baptist Church because of the past. Or how about some sin in your life? Preacher, I just can't quit doing it. I know I need to quit. I know I need to quit saying that. And I know I need to quit drinking that. And I know you can. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. You can do that. Having the right attitude. Maybe you look at your own life and you've looked and, you know, there seems to be a sourness sometimes or a bitterness sometimes or an anger. And I'm telling you, whatever that is, whether it's because of something you could say, well, look what they did to me and look how things turned out. This is why I'm this way. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So the organ's going to play and I'm going to ask you to stand. And some of you have suffered great loss. If you'd stand to your feet. Some of you suffered great loss. Great loss. And if you're not careful, the devil will make you bitter over that. He'll hold you in place with that. You can suffer the loss of all things. How? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A friend. A family member. I can do all things. Not in yourself. But you've got to move from knowing and learning to doing. You can't just sit there and say, okay, I've learned this and now I understand it and I know it. I've got to move from learning and knowing to doing. And I can do it through Christ, which strengthens me. Would you come this morning? Brother Holbert, sing that chorus. That's good.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and
there
life
is.
more abundant and free.
Satisfied life.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look through Him.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.